Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Back in the studio, we have Dean Hires. Hey, Dean.
I'm so glad to be back.
He's co-founder of Sage Presence, along with Pete Makarek. Tell us a little bit about your company in your own words.
Sure. Well, my words are the only ones I have. Pete and I come from filmmaking backgrounds, and what we do is we help people communicate better, present better, and find those moments that give them something like business stage fright, and we help them get to stage presence.
Nice.
So our skill set is the power of story, the power of delivery, everything we learn from working with actors, everything we learn from working with writers. How can we bring this into the moment for business professionals who have to speak and present and sell and interview and win projects and share their ideas? And we help them get to their most winning presence possible.
And I imagine, based on what you've shared with us, that because of the richness of your life experiences, that you can go to the place and you can almost feel where the people are that you're coaching, and to be able to connect with them in ways, because you're emotionally accessible, that you can connect with them in a deeper, more authentic way.
It's the only way I know, but I think that I'm told that it's somewhat rare. But I believe the best coaching and training and teaching that can be done comes from truly feeling where your people are. Meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost like an emotional empath. I feel what other people feel. So it gives me cues on how to help somebody. I know when something scared someone, and both Pete and I are extremely good at creating a safe environment. Pete was an amazing business partner. He's nothing like me. He's the opposite of me in so many ways. He's highly intellectual. He's very in the information, the conciseness, the story, the message. I'm very much in the delivery, the body language, the emotion. And together, we use the exact same systems to unlock the power of other communicators under pressure.
That's fantastic. Tell us more about how you arrived at kind of developing Sage Presence, but also, you know, we had talked about when we initially met over the phone, you were saying, well, the quandary that I have right now is my Plan B life. I'm living my Plan B life, and I'm just wondering if that's okay.
It is an interesting question. Okay, so let me explain. The first part is, how did I get here?
Yeah.
And then, what is this thing that I call Plan B? And by the way, I would call it an amazing Plan B life, as opposed to settling. I have an amazing career, and I still am not sure if that's the end. So, let me back up to the beginning. What I did as a child to deal with the pressures of the world is I got into arts. I became a filmmaker. I found that since the world didn't give me what I wanted and it didn't recognize me for my value, I could create my own stories and be the hero in my own films. And I started making films when I was 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And the first film I made was 90 minutes. I made on film, you know, we had Super 8. That's what we had in the late 70s. So I started making films, getting in film festivals as a teenager. And I loved filmmaking because it let me create a world and put myself in the role I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
In it. And I didn't know whether I was an actor or a writer or a director, but I was all of those things. It was like going to film school, but I put myself through my own film school. And I made 6 or 7 feature-length films by the time I was in college. And when I went out in the world, I wanted to be a filmmaker, but one of the challenges of, I don't know, maybe it's being a bullied kid, I don't know what it is, but I didn't really know how to be popular. I didn't know how to swim in circles. So becoming a filmmaker, going down to Hollywood. I didn't know how to do that. So I had a little bit of a meander. And what it led me to is I started a media company. I did better. You know, you've asked before, you know, what led you to be an entrepreneur? When did you start seeing your leadership skills? Leadership started for me when I was directing as an 11-year-old. That's when leadership happened. Despite the fact that I felt that I didn't know where I fit in the world, I could take command of the world that I created. And then as an entrepreneur, it was a simple scenario. I didn't fit in anywhere. I didn't know how to make someone hire me. I would create it myself. So I started a media
company. You created your own job.
I did.
You would your own, create
Nobody
a new film.
Was going to give me the job I wanted. So I created my own company and gave myself that job.
Nice.
And I was a creative director making films, video, interactive media, computer games. It was a company called Digital Cafe. And by the time we sold that company, we had put computer games in Czech cereal boxes. We had done industry first, the largest CD replication in history. We made millions of products and put them in cereal boxes. And we had a remarkable company. We started advertising movies like Godzilla, Strange Days, Mighty Morphin, Power Rangers, and Die Hard 3. And we were making movie promotions. And so Campbell Mithun Advertising, which was the big hitter at the time, bought my company. And so all of a sudden I had some cash and some freedom, and I went out and made a film. And I had hoped the making a little indie film would be the launch of the film career that I was really, you know, really focused on entertainment.
Right.
This is when I met Pete. I decided to start an acting workshop to work the skills. I'd been in corporate and advertising, and I wanted to get to pure drama. So Pete was someone who had the sensitivity, the honesty, the trustworthiness, and he created safety. He was just the perfect partner to create a workshop to start working with actors. And we made the film. I sold it to Warner Brothers, and the film career just didn't take off. I didn't know how to do it a second time. I leveraged all my resources that I had built to raise the money to make a film. I could not figure out how to do it a second time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to swim with the sharks in Hollywood. I didn't know how to be popular at the film festivals. I didn't know how to do it. So the only thing I had at that point was to teach acting. And Pete and I continued to do our acting workshops. And lo and behold, two crazy things happened. One business professional started taking them, because it was helping them unleash their own personal communication power at work.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I cared either way. It was neat. And then the other thing that was really weird is we got a call from the U.S. government. They were forming an undercover agent training school. They called it a spy school. I thought it was a prank phone call.
Right. Who wouldn't, right?
And next thing I know, Pete and I are on a plane heading out to the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Georgia, and we're teaching acting to undercover agents. And it was a really surreal time, because back in the cities, we were running acting workshops, and there's a group of people making a spy movie, and we were teaching actors how to be spies, while we were then going over to Georgia and teaching spies how to be actors.
Oh my gosh.
And the craziest part is we did the exact same thing. We trained them both the same way, and that's when we realized the skill isn't just a film skill, this is life.
Yeah.
And so then we started going in an easier route, people who have to face big sales pitches. We started working with architecture firms, construction companies, and we have coached $4 billion worth of winning competitive sales pitches, the ones where somebody wins and somebody doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's how Sage Presence formed. I was trying to figure out what to do with my skills.
Yeah.
And I love the work I do. It uses the part of me that I love more than anything, plus the counseling and the emotional sensitivity.
Yeah.
So this thing you asked me about, this plan B, I created this amazing life all the while thinking it was like a launch pad. It would give me the stability and freedom to continue to be a filmmaker.
Right.
Well, you've tried starting a business. You know what happens? It dominates your whole time.
Yeah.
And so making this business work as a real business, I make money. I make a difference in the world. It's working.
Yes.
It took all my time, and suddenly it's 15 years later. Hmm. I don't know where film is. I don't know. The artist that I was trying to do all this to support kind of withered on the vine because I'm a businessman. I make decisions. I make a difference. I have products and services. And there really wasn't room for that child inside to play, the artist to thrive. And that's the plan B. The life I live was really supposed to support another one that I thought would integrate in beautifully, which it still could, but it didn't.
Yeah. So where are you at with it now? Because you were kind of sorting through, is it really, can I live with it in my heart?
Exactly. I've been sorting through this for a couple of years now when I finally realized, oh, wow, you know, I'm 52. I don't know. I mean, I actually, whoa, wait a minute. How'd that happen? Where did that go? What happened to the last 15 years? I almost didn't notice it because I was so busy working at it. So I have some confusion because it's now far enough back, I almost can't feel it anymore. Throughout all of the building of Stage Presence, this aching heart of trying to get the film career alive, to get back to what I was trying to do, was just beating like a drum. And all of a sudden, I don't hear the beat anymore. And suddenly, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is this what I am?
Is this who I am?
And is this who I am? Is this what I do? Or am I like that biker you were talking about who went on hiatus for 20 years from bike riding and is now going on the salt flats to build these incredible, results and hit these new speeds? I don't know if it's in there anymore. I don't know if that filmmaker died because I don't hear it calling. So I'm confused at this point. It's just an interesting point because I don't know whether that's what I'm supposed to do anymore.
So it almost feels to me like grief.
Oh, there's definitely grief. I think I'm more than halfway through the grieving process. I think there was a point where we had a mentor of sorts tell us, you know, it's not really right that you call yourself filmmakers that train. I think you have to say you're a guy with a film background. That was the day that the grief began. I have always been referring to myself through a lion's share of Stage Presence, filmmaker who trains. And I now have to say I'm a man with a film background. And when I started saying that, it hurt. It hurt my heart. But it's actually true. I'm not an active filmmaker. That's arguable. Pete and I made a film with Stage Presence. It's a film about presenting. But it's not what I mean when I say a filmmaker. You know, the dramatic filmmaker is actually something I once was. And so the second level.
Haven't you integrated that into your work?
The work as a director is integrated. So I'm doing some of the best parts of what directing was.
Yeah.
But just imagine if you were an artist, a painter, and suddenly you discovered what you were doing is, you know, painting billboards. Or painting, using your creativity for making client logos and advertising when you thought you were a fine artist. It's not the same. The skills are the same. I'm really useful every day. I mean, one of the strange parts of this job is I don't go more than a week or so before somebody tells me that this process changed their life. I get a lot of power and kudos for what I do, but the artist is not playing.
Happy.
Well, I don't hear from it anymore. That's really where the confusion is. It would cry out, what about me? When is my time? It's like it died in the basement. I don't hear it crying anymore. And that's actually the confusion. I don't feel the artist anymore. And I don't know whether that's just sleeping or whether it's baggage to leave along the roadside. I don't really know. That's the hard part for me, because I would never leave the life I have. It's a question of whether I would try to reintroduce the other piece.
I see. Yeah.
I don't want it to be a choice. I love what I'm doing. It would be insane for me to stop what I'm doing. But what about the other piece? Is there room for that? because it's time consuming, and there's also love and romance and family and
you need all those other pieces in your life to feel fulfilled.
And
right?
Most of the people that I know who have exceeded wildly at a particular vision, they compromise those things. I don't know a lot of filmmakers or highly successful business people that have the marriage that I have. I don't know. I don't think I possibly could have been there for my children, as we talked before. I sacrificed a lot to be truly present as a father and to be
absolutely
a truly committed husband. And I'll tell you, I'm in my 29th year of marriage. It feels a lot like the first year.
It's nice.
It's extremely romantic. It's filled with adventure and excitement and passion. And I don't know many people who have that. So I have, that's why I say an amazing Plan B life. I just don't know what happened to the artist.
Yeah. Well, and just you describing kind of what you've been through with your two sons and getting them through their teen years. I mean, I would be left in a different place myself.
Right. And what do you do?
Like, that was so intense.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, didn't have that in my business plan. Mm-hmm. Didn't have that in my career plan. And so, but you're a very involved dad.
Yes.
And having two sons, you know, same gender,
mm-hmm.
you could relate to them in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
That you understood, you know, what they're going through during this period
yes.
of their lives.
And I would challenge any other parent out there, you so can relate to what they're going through. You know, you can. You have to be active about it. So there's so many things that I've done right that I look at my life and it's wonderful. And I just don't know whether I go with this. Now, I'm mostly over the grief, I think. I don't think it's gone, but I'm mostly over it. But I don't know whether...
Because that was so much your identity. That's
right.
How you saw yourself. That's why when
correct.
That person said that, it was like, oh my God.
Yes. Who this, am I then?
Who am I? If I take that
if I
out
take
of
that
my
away.
Psyche,
yes,
then what
it.
Is left?
Yes. And one of the things I think I've heard, I have a psychology degree as well as a fine arts degree, and I know a lot of psychologists, and one of the things that I've heard a fair amount about is there's a certain age where this might be men and women alike. I just heard it in context of men. They start to identify, they start to purge the part of them that identifies with what they produce. We as men base our value in society on what do we do and what we accomplish and how much money we make and what difference we make,
yeah.
you know, that, and all of a sudden,
do.
Right. And there's a stage that you can hit where your basis of living, your belief in yourself, your identity is no longer tied to that which you produce.
Yes.
So I have been turning this corner.
Yeah.
But it's strange when you disassociate with what you've identified like a heartbeat since you were 11.
Yeah.
And now you don't identify with anymore. I'm trying to decide, do you not identify with anything, or is something going to come in and fill that? You know, that's where my drive came from. My drive was, I will get there. This is who I will be.
And I will do everything to be that.
And from a bucket list, I can check it off. Made a film, sold it to Warner Brothers. I can check the bucket, but I never became that filmmaker career. And so now that I don't identify my value on this planet with what I do,
yeah.
what I produce, I'm a little lost as far as, you know, I'm, it's a weird kind of a limbo feeling.
Yeah, I can understand it.
And it could be very, very good. It could be my salvation. I'll tell you, my marriage has been on fire partially because I stopped basing everything on whether I would get there or not. And so there's
so was
so
this
much good
about not feeling like you're good enough? Is that the deepest part?
I don't know if that's the deepest part.
Like that would fill you?
It could be the pain of just not focusing on it, focusing on, you know, the practical matter of making a life that works. You know, I when I have regret, it's like, you know, I did it once. I did it well. I won some awards. I just was starting. And if I could have just nurtured that.
Well, and it sounds like you needed someone's help.
Yes. This mentor, again, back to your bicyclist, this mentor that came in and guided this person. People want to be discovered, and people think they want to be discovered by the world or the big studio. You want to be discovered by your mentor. And I never found the mentor.
Yeah.
Or the mentor never found me. So I have always been on my own. Everything I've done has been primarily on my own, except for some amazing coaches with sage presence that helped us, you know, figure out our world.
Well, and sometimes the work that we end up getting into are filling the needs that we wish we would have had.
Right.
Like someone taking an interest in me.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Me.
Right. And so we're being that for it. Totally. The pain and the wounds, the weaknesses are becoming strengths that we use to serve others. And yet there's a question that I have. Let me put it to you this way. I'm really curious what you'd say about this. I have journeyed so far. I've climbed so hard and I have done pretty well with all that I've tried. I still have time.
Yes.
To have it all? I mean, does this sound cheesy or what? But
no.
It's like, I still have time. There's still time. I just don't know if I want it anymore, you know? But there's a possibility to me that I see of looking back and saying, there. Look, I not so much because I want to get everything I want. I would love to be the model of a perfect life. And perfect life is not an easy life. It's not that it was that everything went so swimmingly. But I wanted, and maybe part of me still wants to say, I created who I wanted to become. And there was a number of times that I felt like I was just about to take off. And it didn't take off. And instead, I was met with the feeling of the ship leaving without me. Hey, that was my ship.
Yeah.
My ship didn't come, or it came early. And I felt it five or six times poised. You know, I wrote a book and it was a bestseller, and I thought I was going to take off. And I made a film and Warner Brothers picked it up, and I thought I was going to take off. I had made a company that was doing industry first and it got sold. I just kept thinking that I'm like on the edge of the catapult waiting to launch, and somehow I haven't. And there's part of me that says, no, I still could do that, but I don't want to do it in the same way I did before. I don't want to be consumed by it. I don't want to give up.
Maybe that's the answer. You create what it is you want to complete.
Yes, and I have to figure out exactly what that is in order to do it. You know, it was so clear. Life for me, what I wanted was so clear. The goal was crystal clear, and now it isn't anymore. But I do
see. How long has it not been clear? You said a couple of years?
Five years. I mean, I started noticing that the sage presence business was dominating everything that I had, and I started to feel it slipping. It's been like I felt it slipping and slipping and slipping, and then it finally was gone. And so I think that was probably been a five-year process, because when we started the company, I had just made my feature film, and I thought that this would pick up. I thought I'd be able to fit it in and figure it out, but it just there's a line in Saving Private Ryan where, you know, with every step, the farther I way away from home I feel. And it was with every battle or with every person I kill, the farther I feel from home. And that was Tom Hanks' line. And I remember, you know, just sort of feeling like all the forward steps that I did in my life, still part of me felt farther and farther away from what I was actually trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Tom Hanks' character never did make it back, and I don't know if I will. And, but it's still possible.
Well, it would be in a different way, because you're a different person than where you were.
I think this is true.
I think this experience with your sons changed you in a very fundamental way that it put everything in a different world.
Yes, actually, that's beautiful. And the crazy part of it is I am so much more than I ever was. It seems funny that I would be stopping here. You know?
Yeah. Well, I don't get a sense that you're stopping.
No, I, you know, you can hear that. I still got the fire. I still have.
It, what it is figuring out, as you're talking, when you feel more alive.
Right.
So for you, it will probably come through conversation, like when you're coaching, when you're connecting with somebody, when you're giving a presentation, there'll be something inside you that, you know, you just feel like it's divinely planted,
mm-hmm.
like it's resonating with you in a way that you're like, I want to follow that.
Well, I think I know what I want to follow.
Let's hear it.
And I'm not sure if or when it connects back to film. So the interesting thing is it could be film had nothing to do with it, or maybe film connects back in, the artist side. But what I've discovered that I believe I'm about is something we've talked about, I believe, the last time I was on here. Sage presence is about helping people present powerfully, communicate powerfully, and succeed at their objectives in their business. And there's another part that in this work, we touch on it, but it's not what we're about as a company. It's this thing I talked about men and women, about the idea of literally consciousness or social consciousness, the consciousness of all people going up to the next notch. Number of the religious people I met through my dad.
What if you created that for men?
Yes.
A men's movement.
That's, I'm so scared to say the words men's movement, but yes, I am focusing on men, and I want to see if I can help expand them. And what's really interesting about my work at Sage Presence is given me a number of places to test this. We do a lot of work with construction companies, people who work for a living, their fingers are dirty. They've been really receptive to these ideas, which I didn't expect. I have had conversations with construction foremen they watch football, they don't express emotions, feelings aren't something that they talk about. And I've been talking to them about the yin and the yang of life, the masculine, the feminine. And I can't believe how many times these guy men have said, this is so enlightening. I understand things I've never, ever even processed before. So I think the direction, which either will or will not lead back to film, but the direction that's the divine, the thing that I felt, the thing that's...
I could see the film of this. Well, I could see you tracking
the
process.
Yes, I have been toying with that.
How the movement grows.
And that is, I'm starting to dabble in this. I'm going to have this winter, I'm going to have my first conversation with a group of men. I'm going to be very careful not to put together the choir that is already ready to hear this. I want to find men that don't have this on their radar. I'm looking for some variety, and I'm going to start talking to them about this. And
right.
I'm going to be asking questions and seeing what I can learn. I don't want to tell them. I don't want to put this on them. I want to learn from them.
Yeah.
And
well, this sounds really... I can see your passion coming out, and I think this is a good direction. This has been a fantastic and very enriching conversation. I just really appreciate you. I appreciate the integrity that you bring to the conversation.
Thank you.
And your delightful curiosity in trying to figure your life out, whether it's a plan A, plan B, plan C, whatever the plan is.
Yes, the new plan.
It's the new plan that has no boundaries, you know, or parameters to confine who you are.
And let me thank you. I've got affirmation from you. This conversation has led me to just sort of get a stamp of confirmation that this thing that I'm feeling inside does make sense. It is a direction.
Makes,
So maybe I come back in 6 months or so after I've gotten to test this out there in the world.
Yes.
And I think it's something that could fuel Sage Presence. It could potentially refuel the filmmaker, but it's meant a lot to me to just watch you react, because I see you light up when I light up, and I'm like, oh, I'm onto something. So that's been very helpful.
Good.
To
you
me.
Like that mirroring.
Yes.
Yes, it's important. Good.
Yes.
All right. And if you need a few sessions off air.
Oh, hey, I'm coming your way.
Okay. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, and great friend. And we'll see you next Monday. Keep tuning in. We got some good stuff for you.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process. Along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning, we do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.